You may feel like everybody hates you. May I tell you, Jesus Christ loves you, and He desires for us to worship Him. He's called us here to worship Him. We've worshiped Him through song, we've worshiped Him through testimony, we've worshiped Him through giving. Now we want to worship Him through His Word. John chapter 4, so Jesus is having a conversation with the woman. And the woman tells Him in verse number 20, "Our fathers, we worship Him in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship." She was so fixated on a place of worship. May I tell you that you can worship Jesus Christ everywhere. We ought to worship Him everywhere. We ought to worship Him in our homes, worship Him in our schools, worship Him on the golf courses, on the fishing hole, worship Him in the grocery store, worship Him everywhere you go. Jesus told her, verse 21, "Woman, believe me, understand this. The hour comes when you shall neither in this mountain or yet at Jerusalem worship the Father." He says, it's going to be all about not a place. It's going to be about a person. "You worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth." That's why we're here this morning. We're here to worship the Lord. We're to hear His Word. We're to sing praises to Him. We're to understand and draw closer to Him, because that's what worship is all about. It takes many different forms, and it comes along different ideas and different situations, but we're here to worship Him today by studying His Word now. Look at the next verse and the next slide for me, fellows, please, if you wouldn't mind. It means to kiss toward, to kiss the hand, to bow down, to prostrate oneself to a superior being with respect, awe, reverence, honor, and homage. We all worship something. Every single one of us worship. Now, sometimes we don't realize what you're worshiping, just like this woman didn't. She just simply knew that she went to this place in the mountain and they would worship. Some of us worship ourselves. It's all about us, what makes us happy, what makes us look good, what makes us feel good. Some of us worship other people, rock stars or pop stars or sports stars, or sometimes we worship our children, sometimes we worship our spouses, sometimes we worship human beings. We bow ourselves down, we let them dictate to us, we let them show us what to do. All of us worship something. God says, when I save your soul, when you place your trust in me, you're to worship me. You're to bow down to me. You're to seek my face. Now, God is not some megalomaniac. He's not some misogynist spirit up in the heaven demanding us worship. No. God says, I want you to worship me because I love you. I want to commune with you. I want to talk with you. I want to hear you sing to me. I want to hear your prayers. I want to bless you. I want to give you all these things, and I just simply ask you to trust me, He says. That's what worship really is. Next slide for me. There should be one more in there. Did I miss it? My desires, which you're going to learn through this series. I probably missed it. All right? Here's what I want you to worship. Here's what I want you to learn. Number one, I want you to learn that worship is not about you and I. Write these down on your notes there. Number one, worship is not about you and I. When we're done with this series, that's what we're going to learn. We're going to get it driven into our minds. Worship is not about you or I. It's not about the type of music that we listen to or that we don't listen to. All right? It's not about what makes me happy and doesn't please you. Worship is not about you and I. Number two, worship is not just one form during the service. So music is not just worship. The preaching is not just worship. The giving is not just worship. The time of fellowship is not just worship. Everything is blended together to cause us to worship God. And if anything that we do in this place causes us to look to a human being, causes us to look to an instrument, or causes us, then it's wrong worship. Everything that we do and experience in this building together on Sunday morning specifically is to bring us to worship God. Number three, the third thing about worship is it doesn't just stop and start and stop and start and stop and start. So in other words, when we sing a song, worship doesn't begin and then end when the song is done. Worship doesn't start only when the sermon's being preached and then stop when the sermon's being preached. The whole thing is worship. The whole thing. Number four, the fourth thing that we want to learn. God desires for us to worship Him everywhere. He wants us to worship Him everywhere. He wants us to bring Him glory everywhere with what we think and what we say. It's not just in this place. So when you leave here this morning in about 2 hours, I got to have my time. Some of y'all taking all my time up this morning. When we leave here this morning and you get in your vehicle, you're worshiping the Lord. When you go home, some of you to burnt offerings, but when you go home, you're worshiping the Lord. When you go to the store, whatever, it ought to be a place of worship, honoring, glorifying God. And number five, worship never stops. It never stops. There it is, okay. Finally found it. I hid it from you guys. Okay? It's really about His presence. That's what worship is. Did you come in here this morning hoping for His presence? Did you come in here this morning hoping maybe that you would hear from God? Or did you just come in here this morning to check a block and say, well, I showed up this morning? Worship is about the presence of God. That's the presence of God. So when He was talking with the woman at the well, she had it fixated in her mind that God's presence is only in that mountain. And the only time she would be in God's presence was in that mountain. Jesus was trying to explain to her, lady, I am God and I'm in your presence. Let me ask you a facetious question this morning. Is there any place that you can go that God isn't already there? Is there a place that you can somehow hide from Him? Or is there a place that somehow maybe you go that He won't go into with you? Of course, the answer is no. So God's presence is with us all the time when we know Him as our Savior. So that means that you can worship Him. You can worship Him in the doctor's office when you're coughing and hacking up a lung. You can still worship Him. You can worship Him in the grocery store when you're paying $600 for a dozen eggs. Or when you pull up to the gas station and you almost have a heart attack when the price raised 20 cents in 2 seconds. You can worship Him when you go to the voting poll. You can worship Him everywhere because God's presence is everywhere. And for one, I'm thankful that God's presence is everywhere. God's presence is everywhere. All right, next one real quick. I messed them up this morning. It's not their fault. Go back to the first one where it's exhorts, God's exhorted, wants us to worship. Keep going down. I messed up the thing. One more. Here we go. Worship is illustrated. We talked about this last week. You could write these verses down. Or 2 weeks ago, we talked about an illustration of worship. We talked about the Holy of Holies. We talked about Isaiah when he worshiped the Lord and he saw Him high and lifted up. John chapter 12 talks about when Mary broke the alabaster box and released the fragrance. So those are illustrations of worship. The next one. Will worship is exhorted. In other words, these are verses that God talks about. This is what you're supposed to worship, and I want you to worship. I would encourage you to worship. So let me ask you a question this morning. Do you want to worship God? Are you here to hear from Him? Is there something going on in your life, something maybe you're facing, something taking place in somebody else's life, and you're so desperate to hear from Him? These Bible verses will help you to find it also. Worshiping God. Now, some of you didn't bring your Bibles with you, but you know what? We anticipate that. So right in front of you are Bibles in the pews. Some of you have your phones, which is fine. As long as you're not checking your fantasy football scores, that's fine. But open your Bibles up if you wouldn't mind. Next slide for me, please. Some intolerable worship. Some ways that God says, do not worship me. So in order to know how to worship, we ought to know some things that God says, hey, don't do this to worship. So open your Bibles up if you would. On your phones, open your iPads, whatever you're going to do. Open them up to these verses, Deuteronomy chapter number 4. We're going to look at some ways not to worship. Deuteronomy chapter number 4. It's in the Old Testament. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. It's the fifth book of the Old Testament. In order to know how to worship Him, we ought to know how not to worship Him. Deuteronomy chapter number 4, chapter or verse number 14. Deuteronomy chapter number 4, verse number 14. And the Lord commanded me, Moses is saying, the Lord commanded me at that time to teach you statutes and judgments that you might do them in the land whither you go over to possess. So Moses is speaking to the people, and he says, God has specifically told me how to worship Him. Okay, so he says, this is how you're to do it. Verse number 15. Take you therefore good heed, pay attention unto yourselves, for you saw no manner of similitude on the day that the Lord spoke unto you in Horeb out of the midst of the fire, lest you corrupt yourselves and make you a graven image, the similitude of any figure, the likeness of a male or a female, or the likeness of any beast that is on the earth, the likeness of any winged fowl that flies in the air, the likeness of anything that creeps on the ground, the likeness of any fish that is in the waters beneath the earth, and lest thou lift up your eyes unto heaven, and when you see the sun, the moon, the stars, the host of heaven, shouldest driven to worship them, and serve them which the Lord thy God has divided unto all nations under the whole heaven. So he simply says this, I cannot be replicated in an image. Says, don't create statues to me. Don't make images and paintings of what you think I look like. Don't even try to form an animal that presents me. Don't even try to form a human being with long curly hair and pasty skin holding a broken heart. That's not God. Don't make a golden calf and run around it and chant and incantations and beat yourself and scream and holler and think that that is me. Don't lift a human being up and say, oh, you must be God. God says, I'm far above that. Brothers and sisters, if there's anything that you bow yourselves down to, an image or a picture or any kind of a form, and you say that you're worshiping God, you're not worshiping God. You're worshiping a false god. Even to the point, some people worship a cross. We don't worship a cross. A cross is just simply a reminder of what Jesus Christ endured for us. But I don't worship a cross. As a matter of fact, I don't worship this book. Some people worship a book. This is God's word. But I don't worship this thing. Some people worship instruments. Some people worship their understanding. May I tell you, those are false gods. The only one we're to worship is God and God alone. And you find out in His Word what He's like to worship. We can trust this Word. This is the living Word. But God never said, worship my words. He says, worship me, and I'll teach you how to from my Word. Does that make sense? But we as human beings, we've got to be able to touch something. We're so ignorant sometimes. Well, Brother Brian, if I can touch it, if I can see it, if I can smell it, then I'm really... No. Because it changes. I remember, I'm a child of the 80s, and I'm not going to ask you how many are you with me. But I grew up in the 1980s and all the hair bands and all that kind of stuff going on. And I used to really be into that before I got saved and everything else. And now it's amazing that when I see pictures of those people who I worshipped as a teenager, man, they're 60 using walkers nowadays. They've changed over time. All right, many of you worshipped Glenn Miller back when he ate World War II. I'm just teasing. He's dead and gone. We don't know where he's at anymore. When you worship a human beings change. They fail you. They make mistakes. Some people worship pastors. What do you mean? Well, see, here's the problem. Some people get so enamored or listening to a pastor that when he fails or falls or leaves, you know what we do? Then we lose our faith. Well, Brother John So-So Jojo Maho fell, and so, you know what? I'm just not going to serve God anymore because he fell. If you're worshiping a pastor and you refuse to serve God now and do right because the pastor fell, then you're worshiping man and not the true and living God. If you come to this church and you come just because I'm here, no, don't worship me. Worship God as I worship Him along you. Does that make sense? All right, look at the second thing. Go to Job chapter 31. Job 31, he talks about a false god. It's right before the book of Psalms. Find the book of Job 31. He writes these words. Job 31, verse number 24. Job says, if I have made gold my hope, or I have said to the fine gold, thou art my confidence, if I rejoiced because my wealth was great and because my hand had gotten much, if I beheld the sun when it shined or the moon walking in brightness, and my heart has been secretly enticed or my mouth has kissed my hand, he says, if I did all those things, God, this also were an iniquity to be punished by the judge, for I should have denied that God, that the God that is above. If my money is trusting in finance, if my worship is trusting in finances and in my abilities, and I worship the sun, moon, and stars, and I worship what I do or what I don't do, then your God is a poor God, and you're going to be judged one day for who you worship. You're going to be judged. We don't like to talk about judgment. We don't like to talk about having to stand before a holy God. But here's the truth. One day we all will stand before Him. And we will give an account to Him. But here's the great news. If you know Jesus Christ, your Savior, when you stand before God Almighty, all He'll see is the blood of Jesus Christ. His wrath has been poured upon His Son, Jesus Christ. The judgment of God was placed upon Jesus Christ on that cross. He bled and died in our place. He was buried the third day. He arose again the third day. So when we stand before God, we're not going to give an account for what we've done or not done. Jesus Christ has done that. But He'll ask us this simple question: what did you do with what Jesus did for you? Did you deny it, or did you accept it? Brothers and sisters, our hope is not found in our money and our jobs and in people. Our hope is found in God and God alone. This country is going to H-E double toothpicks in a handbasket. Our political system is breaking down. Our society's choices are going haywire. The family units that we once were comfortable in are decimating. But guess what? There's one thing that never changes. That's God Almighty Himself. And He's the only one that's worthy of worship. He says, "My presence is with you. Worship Me." Look at Romans chapter number 1 with me. Romans chapter number 1. It's in the New Testament. Find the book of Acts and go right. One book. Romans chapter number 1. Please look with me what it says. I don't want you to just take what I'm saying for granted. I want you to look at it with me. Romans chapter number 1. Paul describes the state of affairs that we're even encountering right now. Verse number 18 we'll start instead of verse 20. We'll start in verse number 18. Paul says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them." You really want to know who God is? He reveals Himself each and every single day. He's placed inside of every one of us a desire to know who He is. Some of us fill it with drugs. Some of us fill it with alcohol. Some of us fill with lust and passion and hobbies and habits. But God has revealed Himself to each and every single one of us. "For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. They're understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." Nobody's going to be able to stand before God and say, "I never knew You existed." Nobody's going to ever stand before God and say, "You didn't reveal Yourself to me." Well, how did God reveal Himself to us? The beauty of the mountains and the rivers and the trees. The cry of a sweet little child. The love of a fellow human being. He revealed Himself to what took place on a cross almost 2,000 years ago. The heartbeat inside of your chest right now. Did this happen by accident? No. How in the world could we evolve from an amoeba that was inside some primordial pool and that was struck by a lightning billions of years ago? Suddenly life came from a primordial pool. Some of us may smell like it, but I ain't from it. That's poppycock. No. God has clearly revealed Himself to us. Verse number 21, He says, "Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. They professed themselves to be wise, and they became fools. They changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, to birds, four-footed beasts, and creeping things. That sounds exactly like what we have done. When you put your trust in man, then you have converted God into a fallible human being. When you're more concerned about saving the whales than you are about saving the babies, you have made yourself worship a God who's not the true and living God. When you look in the mirror and say, "Wow, it's hard to be humble because I get better looking every day," then you have changed God into something that's just ugly. Brothers and sisters, let's get our eyes off of worshiping things around us and get our lives back to worshiping the true and living God. See, here's the wonderful news. God wants us to worship Him in spite of us. He knows everything about you. He knows your failure. He knows last night what you did. He knows how you have gone wrong. He knows your thought life. He knows all these things, but yet He still desires us to worship Him. He says, "I love you in spite of you." So how should I react to that? Should I just ignore it and go on? Should I just say, c'est la vie. Que sera, sera. What will be, will be. You didn't know I was a poet, did you? No. Realizing that God wants me to worship Him, even what I'm full of. Thank you, God. Thank you that you want me to worship you in spite of me. And so, God, because of that, I want to live for you. I want to walk with you. I want to pray. I want to know you. I know, God, how not to worship you. Show me the next slide. The right God, the wrong way. Next week. You can write those verses down. I encourage you to read them this week. For brothers and sisters, it's all about worship. All of you worship somebody, something, every day. And it's demonstrated by the choices that you make. If you choose to worship God, then it will formulate how you live your life. But if you choose to worship yourself or another human being, it will formulate how you live. Taylor Swift opened up her concert tour a couple, three, 4 weeks ago, or how many, I think her name's Taylor Swift, I can't remember. She opened it up, and billions of people tried to get online and buy tickets that were $7,000 a piece or whatever they were. And it crashed the computer system. And every day you hear about, oh my goodness, people aren't going to get to go see Taylor Swift. And oh my. My answer to that is this. And I'm not trying to be funny. The problem is, too many people are absorbed in trying to go see somebody sing who they'll never meet, and they see way thousands of yards away from, when the true and living God says, "Worship me and talk to me and listen to me because I'm right here with you." And you don't have to pay nothing to do it. Father, I want to worship you today. Speak to me. I need you. I hear you, child. Come on. So don't worship me today. Please. That's put me in a bad place. Don't worship a human being. Don't worship an image. Worship the Creator. That's the one to worship. God Almighty Himself. The same yesterday, today, and forever. Let's stand together this morning. Worship the Creator. Heads bowed and eyes closed this morning. I'm not going to ask for lifting of hands or anything else, but I want you to just now just take a few moments. Ms. Doris is going to begin to play. And I just want you to talk to Him. If you've been worshiping the wrong God, if you've been lifting yourself up, here's a good time to confess that to Him. Because it's not about us. Ask Him to help you worship the true and living God.